My guest today is Andy Cross. Andy, how you doing?
Oh, fantastic. Thank you very much.
You're an Azure guy, right?
Yeah.
More specifically, you're an Azure Big Data guy. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So,
tell me about your experience with Azure Big Data.
So I think that we had a very interesting experience. I started a company 4 years ago when Azure was brand new. And that company was called Elasticloud. And we decided that the interesting thing about Azure was the ultimate scale, the infinite scale that you can get to with Azure. And we would do all kinds of distributed compute around Azure. Big things in Azure, very cool things, right? But yet, you know, sometimes you look at it and go, well, not everyone wants to do big things, and sometimes people just have log files, and instead you have to kind of go, right, big data instead. You have to kind of go, let's do simple stuff over huge amounts of data. Let's help people do standardized kind of technology. So we started a company which was about big compute, and big compute's been a very interesting thing, but a long thing. The difference between big compute and big data, all about the same thing, distributing workloads.
Right.
It's all about distributing workloads, but it's instead data. And somehow, what's happened with technology, we get so much more data. We are working ourselves into a data silo all the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And sometimes we end up with this enormous amount of data that we don't know how to process.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, magically, we've ended up with 5 petabytes of log files or something.
Petabyte is, wait a minute, that's 1,000 terabytes, is that right?
Yeah.
It goes mega, giga, tera, peta, yada.
Yeah. And,
I think.
And I don't know. But I meet people all the time who say, I've just ended up with this enormous amount of data, and I've moved beyond my ability to understand what's inside that data.
Yes.
But presumably there's some value in there, because you've been tracking all of your users or your customers or whatever it happens to be. You've been tracking what they've been doing on your website. That's why you logged it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's important to log it at the individual level.
Right. People are afraid to throw it away.
So overall, there must be some value in there.
Yep.
Somehow.
A little closer.
somehow, and somewhat. There must be some data in there that is valuable.
All right. So that I went through this as a consultant. I would build applications to allow my customers to capture data. And then after a few years, all of a sudden they have data. And so what? I've captured
data.
And now
I've got too much data.
Maybe I filled the order, but what do I do? Do I delete it? Do I archive it? Can I use it in some other way?
Hmm.
And your customers were asking that same question.
Yeah, we always start off with this this strange problem. I've got a lot of data, and I want to know about what my customers are doing. And let's take a step back away from the data and think, actually, the real thing that our customers want to do is understand their customers better.
Hmm.
They want to somehow use data to do a better thing with in terms of their customer orientation. They want to reach new customers, or they want to serve their existing customers better, and they want to do that through data.
Okay.
So imagine you've run a website for 10 years and you've got 5 petabytes of data, and it's got every single record of every single thing that every single customer who's ever gone through your doors, and also every single customer that didn't quite buy, you know, the every single lost customer.
Like the pages they visited, the products they viewed, that sort of thing?
Everything.
All right.
Even what button they clicked and how they clicked on it and why they were referred to there. All that sort of stuff. So that tells you something about how you can reach your customers. And also tells you about how those people who didn't buy from you, how you failed to reach them. So not only how great it is somehow sometimes to do business, but sometimes you can look at it and go, wow, I know exactly how to lose customers.
Okay.
And understanding that.
You could maybe do less of that.
Yeah, do less of the whole losing customer thing. Yeah.
All right, so I think what you're hearing is that we've got data, we know to somehow buried inside the data is information about how to reach our customers better, and we want to get some answers out of that, some coherent answers, some information that we can then use. How does Azure help us with that?
Well, I think that there's been a massive revolution recently about scale. Mm-hmm. We need to think about things in two ways. We need to think about things about business benefits. We've always thought about things in terms of business benefits, but sometimes those business benefits are so abstract from actually the ability to act upon them. Mm-hmm. You know, a customer to us might well be a MD or a CMO. They might come to us and ask us a question that they're our customer, because we're tech guys. So we go, we're tech guys, but the MD comes to us, or the marketing person comes to us and asks us a strange question. The question that they ask probably involves how we understand our customers better. That's all boils down to how we can understand and sell better to those people. Mm-hmm. Whereas the previous way of looking at data is that it's an overhead. You know, we have this data that we have to try and parse somewhat. You know, and we do some work with it. When we look at it as a business benefit, something which gets us closer to data, we change from an overhead of compute that sits at rest in a database to something which is a valuable proposition for the business. We can somehow make more money through the data that we already hold about our existing customers. So we can either service those existing customers better, or we can maybe learn about new customers based on what previous customers used to do. And that's where Azure starts to come into it, right? So we can do at-scale parsing of logs, Hadoop, HD Insight kind of workloads. Sometimes that's incredibly useful just to be able to parse over text files line to line after time.
Back up a second. Hadoop is what?
Hadoop is a great open-source framework to be able to reason around data at enormous scale.
Okay.
So it's not just about data. It's not just about machines. It's about trying to reason about that.
Okay.
Right. And HD Insight is the implementation of that on Azure as a managed service. So Hadoop is a kind of hard thing. Anyone who's watching the show and has tried to do Hadoop ever, even on their own machine, realizes actually it's really hard. It's really hard work. It's really, really tough to configure Hadoop for anything. Mm. There's lots and lots of config files, left, right, and center. It's really, really tough stuff. But when you go into a cloud environment, you don't expect that, right? So, David, do you expect to have to manage text files for configuration when you go to the cloud?
Like, I want that stuff abstracted away from me. I want it to be simple. I want to click and say run.
Yeah. And that's where HD Insight starts coming into it.
Okay.
So HD Insight lets you sort of start thinking about, I just want to have 100 machines that can work out this simple thing for me.
Okay.
I've done it on one machine. I want to do it on 1,000 machines. Off we go. That's where HD Insight starts to play. And HD Insight is great, and the team that built that are fantastic. Really, really clever guys. And the way that Hadoop works on the shore is unbelievably good from you know, where we started, and actually I never thought it would be as good as it is right now.
Hmm.
But HD Insight is just like one thing, right? So it just, that's just at scale, at enormous scale. When you need brute force, you do HD Insight. You might want to do something a little bit different. You might want to use your machines that you're applying over data to do something together that reasons over your data and reasons over your business. And that is roughly what we call machine learning. Azure, Microsoft have done this great job of building out a brand new service called Azure Machine Learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you use a graphical interface that abstracts you away from some of the boring parts of machine learning. Actually, some of the interesting parts, but also some of the boring parts of that. And just says, I want to use this type of algorithm to reason over this type of data.
Mm, okay.
Well, maybe you've got a little bit of experience before then, and you can work out which algorithm you want to choose.
Okay.
But out of the box, you just drag and drop things and click a button and off you go. You're getting your reasoning around that data in a brand new way. Hmm. Just as we started to do with HD Insight, with Hadoop at massive scale,
okay.
Now we're doing in machine learning.
What's the output of machine learning? Is it reports? Is it a more refined algorithm? What is it?
So, by and large, big data is slightly naive in that you get text files in or raw text in and raw text out. Hmm. And sometimes you get the same thing with machine learning. You get raw text in and raw text out, just text files. And then you've got to do some work, like maybe with it's your data factory, to actually push that data from a text file into a SQL database, something like that. But that's not the really useful thing. The really useful thing about Azure machine learning is that if you can click exactly the right button, you can actually expose the machine learning algorithm as a REST service.
Hmm.
So it becomes this thing that you can just call with the right parameters, and it will tell you something about data that you don't know yourself. It will tell you something about how an individual user is going to engage with your system. It's going to tell you about how you can make more money. It's going to tell you about how your business can be more effective with only half of the data that comes in, because it will tell you something about that based on what it has previously perceived to be relevant.
Interesting. So if I expose machine learning as a service, or my machine learning as a service, what are the inputs and the outputs? How is it telling me? Is it returning some values that I can interpret?
Yeah, so by and large, what happens is you expose an endpoint, a REST endpoint.
Yep.
And that REST endpoint, it takes a set of input parameters which roughly equate to the input parameters from your original data set. So imagine you've got 100 columns and 100 categoricals of your original input. And lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of rows that the machine has learned from. If you imagine that some of those are more important, so we can talk about our background, why we ended up being technologists. There were some things that were important to us that ended up being that ended up with us being technologists as a profession.
Hmm.
So sometimes, you know, you may look at it, we did math, we did history, we did studies of engineering. We also probably studied geography and we studied art. And sometimes, you know, maybe we could think maybe we didn't do quite so well in art or in geography. But we did really, really well in math and we did really, really well in other things. And that might call us this thing called an engineer.
Yeah.
So what we can do is we can put those together as parameters towards a REST endpoint. This guy has got a star in mathematics. This guy has no problems at all understanding engineering. He's great.
Yeah.
And that goes into the machine learning algorithm, and the machine learning algorithm goes, right, I'm going to compare him to everybody else. Well, that guy who's great at math probably ends up being a fantastic engineer.
Mm, okay.
And that comes out at the end.
I see. So this is given new data, we can apply those patterns that we learn from the existing data
and done
predict on that.
Through machine learning, as your machine learning, done as a REST service. So you build something out and you go click, and then it's an endpoint, and you can just invoke that endpoint.
Ah, very cool. And now you're using this for your own business, and you're writing white papers on it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the problems with machine learning, actually, if I'm being honest, is that it's really tough. And the toughness actually comes down to the fact that it's quite academic, and it's only rarely applied to a line of business. So what we're trying to do at ElastiCloud is we're trying to build line of business example applications with Azure Machine Learning that says, if you were in e-commerce, if you're trying to sell clothes to people all around the world, this is how you understand people who want to buy clothes.
Okay.
And it takes it slightly away from academia and applies it to what you might want to do in the real world. And that, I think, is where engineering starts coming off. You go, well, that's very useful, so I'm going to do that myself.
Okay. That's very cool stuff. Let's say some of our viewers want to learn more about this. Can you provide some resources?
Oh, absolutely. So you can go to two interesting websites. You can go to elasticcloud.com, the company that I run, and briskengine.com, which is one of the ways of that we apply our machine learning algorithms and our at-scale big data technologies, and you can buy it yourself at briskengine.com.
Andy, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, David. I've known David for 3 years, and I hope that I'm his friend. But genuinely, the most important thing that he does is share his knowledge with everybody else on technologyandfriends.com.